Welcome to Bad Dads Film Review, the podcast featuring a ragtag group of movie-loving dads who've clawed their way back to the cinema after years of kiddie-inflicted purgatory. On this week's photography-themed episode, we'll be counting down the top five photos in movies because we thought, why not add yet more uninformed opinions to the endless void of the internet? Then prepare yourself for the unsettling rollercoaster that is 1 hour photo starring the late, great Robin Williams. Spoiler alert, it's less Mrs. Doubtfire and more psychological trauma. But wait, there's more. We'll wrap things up with a look back at 80s teen drama Press Gang. Just a quick heads up, we're not your run-of-the-mill PG-rated podcast. Profanity is our love language and spoilers are our secret sauce. So if you're faint of heart or terrified of cinematic revelations, you might want to hit pause, go watch everything we're about to ruin for you and come back when you've grown a thicker skin. Other than that, there's just this week's cast of dads to meet, starting with the man who's responsible for this whole mess, so it's his fault really, Sidey, a man of many interests, as you guys know, and you're branching out with a new podcast, aren't you, devoted entirely to reliving the frustration of the dial-up internet era, each week playing the iconic shrieking sound of a noughties modem for an hour in your new podcast, The LAN Before Time. That's right, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. And we also have elder statesman Dan, a man so smart that earlier this evening he solved a Rubik's Cube just with a hammer. And we have the Romanian Rhapsody Sleeping Beauty himself, Chris. Regular listeners will know that Chris has been practicing his movie impressions for us this week. You've outdone yourself, really, haven't you? He's going to give us live, right now, no sound effects, the blaring horns from the Inception trailer. Let's hear it, Chris, please. That is fantastic just, and loud.
Just rose out of there, yeah.
Does he do that with his mouth? It's incredible.
Don't think I'm going to get that.
Good luck.
And there's also me, Riggs. Hello.
Hello.
G'day. Been watching anything?
No. Oh, Haunting of Hill House. We watched that. That was pretty good.
Haunting of Hill
House. Yeah, Mike Flanagan's one. So after watching his most recent one, which was The Fall of the House of Usher, we went back to watch that one again as well. So that was great. His Netflix horror and series, they're great. Highly recommended.
No, not heard of any of those. I watched Deadpool again this week. And I did watch Inside with Nelly, this film... Too Good, Too Bad, I think it was called. It's like a Christmas film. I'll find out the name for next week. It was decent.
Okay.
It was actually quite surprising.
We might need to do a Christmas episode soon. So
very much so. Maybe just do Christmas episode from now until
Christmas.
We watched The Nice Guys, the Ryan Gosling, Russell Crowe masterpiece. That
been
one.
Revisiting films as well. Yeah.
And we watched, although disgruntled, because we watched... two-thirds of the BFG yesterday, and those fuckers finished it off today without me.
The Spielberg one?
Yeah, he really missed the mark.
Yeah,
with
I heard
that one.
That.
But it's okay. It's all right. My daughter really
went to the cinema to watch it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Disappointing.
Book's better. But
yeah. Book's way better.
Yeah.
And the cartoon was already pretty good as well, wasn't it? Jason was it?
Yeah.
Might have been, yeah. But it was good. Cartoon.
Chris, did you watch anything?
I did watch, well, I made an attempt at two movies, but I haven't finished them. I tried to watch Lansky. It's on Netflix with Harvey Keitel and some other guy actor. I can tell you what his name is, but oh no, it's going to start the movie. Some other guy actor, you would know him. I can't really tell you in which movie. He's famous. You've seen
a
him
famous
before.
Actor. He was in it.
I can't remember what his name was. We tried to watch a movie called Blended. With Adam Sandler. And
I think I've seen that one. Drew Barrymore, is it?
Yeah. And I couldn't watch that.
No, that's...
Well, hang on. Don't give it a kicking because one listener will get very upset.
No, I think it's probably awful, but I have seen it.
I don't know. They're like two... They go on a first date and he takes her to Hooters.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with Hooters.
Anyway. And they find out they have kids and... I've only seen I can't remember how.
They went on a holiday to South Africa or something, isn't it?
Yeah, but this is, I really got annoyed because in typical American fashion, and I don't want to offend anyone here, but they said, we're going to Africa. Mm. It's not, they didn't go to Uganda, they didn't go to Chad, they didn't go to Angola, they went to Africa. As if you're going, well, where are you going? Are you going to Brussels or are you going to Stoke? Because Europe is kind of the same thing. You know, we could go to Mali.
It's diverse,
It's a big continent and you can fit America twice in the whole continent of Africa.
Yeah.
So as soon as I've seen that, I was like, "This is
you're out,
it off, yeah. checked out."
If it had been set in the Congo or Botswana,
at least tell me. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Tell me where you're going.
I didn't know that they'd done more. That's at least three Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore films.
Well, 51st Dates,
Wedding Singer,
and that one. Yeah, well, they've got chemistry. You can't deny it. With that.
You can't deny it.
Yeah, I can.
I mean, chemistry. I don't know. I'd had to switch off them.
I'm denying it. Yeah, I'm with you, Chris. I'm not into any of their movies.
Come off. Wedding Singer is beyond.
I've not watched that. I can't tell you.
It's good. It's very good.
It doesn't sell.
Just to dip back into the midweek episode, Pecker. Did you watch that with your missus?
Yes.
How did she get on it? She's a big fan.
She actually looked at me and honestly, she was like, "Who the fuck picked this and why?" And then at the end of the movie, she's like, "Surely there's better movies than this to watch."
No, I don't think there are.
And honestly, that's what she gets turned around. She's like, "Surely there's better movies than this. Why does he pick that?" So I was like, "Listen, I don't know. It's got photography in it." So
yeah, well, there you go.
Teabagging it.
Yeah.
So sorry, none of us is clever enough to understand the nuance of cinematography.
I don't think it was particularly nuanced. We had a top five last week. And that was Bond vehicles and gadgets.
Yes.
But I think we covered everything off.
Yeah. We should have a big nomination of the seagull on Connery's head from whichever movie that was from.
Was it not a duck?
Goldfinger.
It was not a duck. No, it was a seagull.
It was Goldfinger, that one.
Okay.
So yeah, that's it.
We were quite thorough.
Mm. We've had a couple of belters for this week's top five, so I'm keen to just get stuck in.
All right, well, let's do it.
Top five.
Top five.
Are you much of a photographer?
No.
Because everyone's got a camera these days.
I get a lot of grief about not taking enough photos of the family and the stuff that we do.
Yeah.
I'd rather just live, in the moment.
You got a selfie stick?
Yeah.
They're for cunts though, aren't they? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Have you
got
the actual
quite
stick, the telescope thing?
Yeah.
Have you ever used it?
It's lost at the moment, but yeah, we do use it if you go out. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Jeez.
If you go on holiday and stuff, right? Not just, I don't know, we're going to...
If I'm walking around town. No. Yeah, it'd have to be like an event.
Okay,
I've also got a GoPro with it has its own selfie stick as well.
Wow.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
But I still would say to be like a huge narcissist to want to like...
I hope you go to Africa and you get raped by a gorilla.
Where in Africa,
you get
Chris?
To watch
where?
It. Well, not Africa.
We should all be sat here filming with selfie sticks.
And GoPros.
Yeah, of stuff. Yeah. The Insta360 action camera has its own selfie stick, which is intelligent. So when you're filming yourself with it, it automatically erases the stick from the thing.
Right, I've seen that on the internet.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's pretty
cool. That is pretty rare.
Yeah, well done. Can they erase your face?
No. But what we're talking about here is top five... Originally it was photographs in movies or TV, but also we sort of expanded it out to be photographers or photography.
Anything's got the word photo in it, basically.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So have you got some photosynthesis for us, Dan?
I don't know.
Why don't you set the ball rolling, Dan? Because I know you're a bit light on notes.
I'm a bit light on memory.
The one that came to my mind when I thought this was Bridges of Madison County. Have you ever seen that film?
No, I haven't. But we have discussed this before. It's about where Clint is exposed as a hideous pervert taking photos of people through the window.
Oh, Bridges. He's taking photos of Bridges for National Geographic.
That's really
and
boring.
He strolls in on this town. There's not much going on. Beautiful. And it's Meryl Streep. She's in this house where he goes to ask for directions and her husband and kids are out of town.
Yeah.
And they...
I've seen this movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've seen it too. Yeah.
She's been with her husband who... The romance is all gone and everything from their lives. They just kind of exist together.
Yeah.
And she's with him for the kids as much as anything else. And she has this chance of love with this photographer, Clint Eastwood, who also feels the same. He's always been alone since... years and years, and
they have this
connection. It didn't really give off serial killer vibes, but you never know. But
exactly.
the story was obviously a really famous book, and it was a really decent film as well. And that'll open it up for me, I think, quite well. Go and challenge that for a better photography movie.
Okay,
I don't know if this counts, but in Nightcrawler, the guy is wearing a camera. He has a camera all the time with him. Does that count? No.
It absolutely counts. No. Yeah.
Does it?
Well, yeah, his whole shtick
videoing,
is getting,
though, is that...
He takes photos as well. Yeah, I don't think we have to be that strict with it. Yeah, well, sure.
I don't know. I just thought if I'm allowed, I can put that. If not...
Of course you can put that. That's also segues. It's our most successful episode ever.
Yeah, by a bigajillion downloads.
What, Nightcrawler?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, to be fair, do you know what? I have to say this. I worked with a guy that looked exactly like that guy. Like, not like Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
But like Jake Gyllenhaal in that movie, with that look. Like, that weird kind of...
Well, we went to school with someone who was very similar as well, I would say.
Honestly, that guy... Yeah. I worked with this guy. He was only a young lad, and he was on every drug known to man.
Really?
But the legal ones.
Yeah.
And he would take a week off, and then he would come on his... Like, he would... Oh, I'm not really well. He'd go to the doctor, and then he'd get, like, I don't know, a backpack full of pills. And then it was amazing. And he looked exactly like this guy. I don't know if that makes...
It was a pretty good movie. That's what I remember. Denis Villeneuve. I enjoyed that one.
Den.
Yeah. And we also just rack up brains periodically about why that episode is so much more downloaded.
If you put Twirly Woos into Spotify, I think that's the first thing that comes up.
Maybe it's the kids thing that's more popular. Yeah. Riggs?
Blah, blah. Should have probably been a bit more prepared than this. A good bit of inadvertent racism in Crocodile Dundee is when the guy's like, oh, you know, you can't take my photograph. And what's her name? She's an absolute smoke show. Paul Hogan married her as well.
Yeah, Mrs. Hogan.
Yeah. And she said, oh, I'm sorry, you think it's going to take your spirit away. And he's like, no, you've got the lens cap on. Good one. And also a movie that I don't reckon we've ever talked about on the pod before, Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow. You ever seen that?
No.
The Jude Law green screen.
It's a green screen thing.
1940s homage thing. The girl has only got two frames left on her roll of film throughout the movie and is deciding what to take photos of, is saving them. One time she shoots the ground as she's running away.
You obviously got to do like down the trousers.
Yeah. And the last one she does with a lens cap on as well. So quite annoying. What about Back to the Future? That's a pretty famous photo. Let's talk about that one. That's the photo that he uses as evidence he's falling out of time.
It's the barometer of how much photo long he's got to go.
As part of the plot. Yeah. Okay, nice.
Yeah, that's classic. Yeah.
And it's got good sort of form with photos because Back to the Future 2, that's how you discover that Biff has gone back in time. You see a photo of him in the paper with the almanac in his pocket.
And 3 is the photo with the clock.
Oh, yes,
tower.
The clock. So, yes, big form for photos in those movies.
Yeah, that's a trifecta. What about I guess it's similar in a way to the Back to the Future one, Riggs, of photos that are altered for memory.
All right, okay.
I've got Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yes, yeah.
Where they have all those great practical effects, but they also like remove the memories, blah, blah, blah. But the first one that I thought of was Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1. But they know they're all at risk. And what's his face? Tom Riddle. Fucking hell. Can't think of his name. The villain Voldemort is back and they know they're at risk. And so Hermione has to erase, which she decides to erase her memory from her parents with an obliviate spell. And all the family photos in the shot, she disappears from them all and they no longer know who she is. So they can't give her up or tell any information to anyone. Blah, 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 blah. Sounds a good one.
Mm. At the beginning of the year, I was in Cambodia and there was obviously a film around the time then, the Killing Fields.
Real chuckle fest.
And a real chuckle fest. It's all about the Khmer Rouge regime in Cambodia and a Cambodian guy called Dith Pran who stays on as a journalist, and the New York Times have been in there and their reporters are there. John Malkovich plays a guy, Al Malkovich, and he's the photographer. As they're being like taken by the Khmer Rouge, and people are just being shot in the street there, and foreigners and
any kind of intellectuals or anything.
Yeah, and this was right at they're storming like Phnom Penh, so it was they were held up against the wall, and people were being shot like next, and they thought they were next, and the camera was part of that, you know, getting shots and everything, getting evidence that would take it back. But it was Dith Pran, this sort of Cambodian guy, who ended up getting this evidence in his story.
Grizzly.
grisly, but a really good movie.
Okay. I've got a movie called Filth with Jason. Is it Jason?
Is that the...
It's McAvoy.
Yeah.
And he...
It's, what's his name? Irvin Welsh.
Irvin Welsh is...
He has a Christmas party at his work and he takes a Xerox copy of his penis.
He's a policeman.
But then he... Or, yeah, he's a policeman. And then he... But he enlarges the photo and one of his colleagues sees and he... I can't remember exactly how, but obviously it looks like a massive penis.
Yeah.
And he just shows it just like, oh my God, I don't know how it happened, but he shows the picture to his colleague who he overheard her saying that she likes people like men with that have big dicks. And then he ends up having sex with her at the Christmas party. But you can see her face going like,
Not as advertised.
Yeah, what happened here?
I've read the book and it is funny because it's set at the Christmas party and in the book, it's all the guys have been talked into doing it. And he actually finishes second and he goes, I can't fucking believe it. Like, you know, I blew up four times and I still finished second to that guy.
Nice.
So yeah, I thought that was quite a good one. And it doesn't show his penis, but it shows the enlarged kind of Xerox copy. So
that's a penis.
If anyone wants to see that.
There you go.
Of course, yeah, I definitely want to see that, yeah. 12 Monkeys. She's giving a lecture at the beginning on the psychology of doomsday predictions and she pulls up a photo of a World War One soldier in a trench who claimed to be a time traveler from the future. And when they zoom in, you see that it's Bruce Willis's character and we're actually going to see that photo being taken later, but earlier in time in the movie. Pretty cool. Final Destination 3 was the one with the roller coaster. Seen that one? Mm. And they take photos on the roller coaster as it goes round. And as they come out, like there's a blur on each of the people.
It says something
about how they're going to die and blah, blah, blah.
Who's next?
Who Framed Roger Rabbit has Eddie Valiant initiating the plot by going off to get saucy photos, really,
that's right,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
He's sleazing it up real nice to get photos of Jessica cheating with Marvin.
That's right.
So that's...
It's an all-time great.
Yeah. Side?
I can't believe we've come this far without mentioning Memento.
Yep.
Right, yeah. Well, it was one of mine.
It's obviously key to the plot. He's got no memory.
Mm.
So he's relying on Polaroids and tattoos.
Yeah.
And he's annotating the Polaroids with what he needs to do. I'll say no more because I've spoiled it before, but Chris, I still think
I've never watched
seen
it.
No. I've never seen it. If you like Home and Away and Neighbours, you'll like
it. Yeah, it's right up your alley.
I've not watched any of them.
No. But this is an all-time great. It's really, really good.
What is Home and Away?
It's the Australian breakout.
That came before Neighbours. Like,
the Australian TV show.
That was one, and then at 1:25 was Neighbours.
Was it 5:30 and 6:00 or something?
5:30 and 5:00. Isla Fisher was in Home and Away. This is not.
And Guy Pearce was in.
He had a biker jacket in Neighbours.
He was in Neighbours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
But he's the start of Memento. I don't know which one you would say is the strongest performance, but the film Memento is excellent.
Okay.
And it's a key plot device.
Okay. I'll give that a go.
Just about to spoil it, but I won't.
Okay. I mean, you can.
I have before, but I think you've forgotten what I told you, what I said.
Okay.
We've got... The classic one is Jimmy Stewart in Rear Window.
Yeah.
Alfred Hitchcock.
It's got the word cock in it.
Yeah.
Mm.
And he's a broken leg and he's laid up and he just wants to start taking photographs. So he's bought this kind of camera and he begins to suspect there's a murder over the street.
Grace Kelly
comes to pop in and out. It's his girlfriend and there's a nurse as well.
He sees a bloke going in and out, like carrying all sorts of suspicious looking shit, doesn't he?
Yeah. And digging under the roses and things and they're convinced. And of course he can't go anywhere. He's just trapped all the time and he's able just to put such, what's going to happen next and tension into
the
film.
He sends over his nurse, I think, doesn't he? And he's watching her from the other side.
That's
they
right.
memorably take it off in The Simpsons.
And then he comes back earlier than he normally does because he goes at this time and is he going to get caught or is she going to get caught on the other side? He's trying to get a message across. And it turns out, actually, there's a couple of red herrings in everything. Yeah, it's a good one.
I know you mentioned it off air, but it's one of the last two that I had written down for my short list is Ciudad de Dios, the City of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is obviously the story of the two kids that one of them becomes a gangster, the other one becomes a photographer.
Rocket, I think his name is.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. So it's a, I mean, I don't know if I have to get into all the details, but that's, I think, it's one of my favorite films as well, so.
Yeah, it's a series of vinaigrettes, I think, as you once memorably described it.
Yeah, well, maybe, but it's, yeah, I mean, it's in the slums of Brazil, and it's...
And it's loosely based on a real story, apparently. So.
Well, he's the guy, Rocket, the main character, his story, you know, he is a real guy, and this is kind of his story.
Won Oscars, that movie, yeah.
Good one. Me? Stranger Things. Jonathan Byers, conveniently for the first season of Stranger Things, was obsessed by photography so he could get a shot of Barb, and then I don't think they really mentioned it again.
Justice for Barb.
Yeah. Kate in Gremlins. What's her name?
Phoebe Cates.
Yeah. She is using a camera and taking photos to keep them away.
Yeah.
There's an episode of Quantum Leap where Sam is impersonating a blind person, and a reporter takes a photo of him, and wouldn't you believe it, it actually blinds him.
Right.
So he's actually...
That's the sort of playing part for real.
So, wow.
Have you watched any of the reboot of that?
I tried watching the first one.
Ghastly?
It's just not the same. It was okay, but it's like...
Do you want Scott Bakula?
Yeah.
I was just so into that. Can you remember Manimal?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can remember that. I'll remember that right now if you want.
I'm like Patty and Selma with Manimal.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Terminator? Kyle Reese has got a photo of Sarah Connor that's taken at the end of the movie. That he's been, I assume, jacking off to throughout the long, cold nights. Calendar Girls was a movie about
old women
having photos taken of them. It's really good, wasn't it? Judi Dench,
Maggie Smith, all of those ladies.
Yeah, and I think later adapted into a stage play.
Helen Mirren probably in there. I think so.
And I had another one that I desperately wanted to talk about. King Ralph. Remember that one?
Yeah.
John Goodman.
The whole point, the thing that kicks the plot off, they all die in a photo. The entire
royal family die
in a photo.
That's right, yeah.
John Goodman becomes the only heir to the throne.
Well, won't say too much, but obviously this is a photo-themed week. So our two movies that we're talking about this week, Pecker obviously takes a million photos in that, and our main one this week is about a creepy
photo man.
Yep, we'll say no more. The Simpsons that we mentioned, the Rear Window takeoff, there's also one where Bart has misbehaved at school and he has to then help Principal Skinner track where he's doing like the sky at night. He's got a camera and that's a telescope, isn't it?
That's more telescopy.
But what I do have for The Simpsons is all the Kent Brockman stock photos of Homer doing stuff.
Yeah. Or
there's the one with his mouth. He's got about 300 cigarettes.
Yeah.
That's from Marge versus the Monorail.
Yeah.
There's one. This is Chief Wiggum, and that's how a hippo was made police chief, and it's Wiggum and a hippo. There's the one with Homer with his tongue frozen to a lamppost.
Yeah.
There's one with Homer and he's lost his trousers to a gorilla and he's like shaking his fist at the gorilla. And there's another one with Homer and his arse is on fire and he's just running around the street. And there's like a million more of them.
Oh, yeah. Good. Very good.
Yeah. So all of those.
Perfect. How are we going to whittle it down?
Well, we'll go straight over to Discord.
You said we've had one of the best nominations we've ever had.
It's one of my favourites.
Let's hear it.
Well, let's go for the other ones.
Let's go through the shit ones first.
No, the obvious ones that we've had, we've mentioned it tonight. Darren Leithy says, the obvious one, Marty's family photo in Back to the Future.
You mentioned that,
Reeves. Almost ends up being an accidental, literal motherfucker.
Yeah.
If it's not, because she wasn't his mother at the time.
It's still.
It's not. And then Darren Leithy also mentions Austin Powers. The cover story was that he was a photographer in Swinging London in the 60s.
Yeah.
And Breachy, this one, it's so good. It's The Room and Tommy Wiseau. He's sort of sitting like casually reclining in front of a table. And there's three framed photographs of spoons.
Spoons.
If you go on the Discord, you can see it. It's amazing. It's absolutely incredible.
Well, that's got to go in.
That's in.
Yeah.
We don't need any more contributions. That's in. I'm just going to go straight in with Memento.
Oh, nice. Oh, I'm going to go with one of my favourite tropes, which is when a character kisses a photo before they die, nice. Done memorably by the pilot, Randy Quaid, in Independence Day, before he careers his plane into the ship, but also done in the I was going to say Armstrong, but that's not right. I can't remember his goddamn
name. Neil Foles, the snooker player?
The Dog Soldiers. You remember movie? Yeah. Good little British werewolf horror movie. And
Neil Blomkamp?
Kissing his... No, it's Neil...
Neil Orange Peel.
Yes.
Neil Diamond.
Yes, all of those people. It was Neil Diamond Orange Peel.
It's Killing Chris? Fields for me.
Yeah, it's a good one. And then Chris?
Yeah, Ciudad de Dios.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. To
be. So that's all five in. So what? When next week, we'll have to, that's it then. We won't be putting
We might
in.
Do a six.
Let's tune in and find out.
We can say what we like about Pete.
That won't take long.
Yeah.
No.
I like a lot of things about Pete.
Yeah.
Maybe I like it when he's not here.
Hmm.
There you go. There's one. But the cheese selection does go drastically downhill when Pete's not here.
No, but we do have the remnants of his bag of sweets.
Yes, we do. Yeah, it is just remnants now because I've been through a lot of the best ones in there. But we've been restocked.
We've supplemented that with...
We've gone big time with the sweets. We've got a massive bar of Toblerone.
Yeah, we've got... Well, I've got a Toblerone, a bag of peanut M&Ms, and some Mauam bar thingies. Joysticks, I think they're called.
Something sticks, yeah.
And then we got two bags of really sour sweets.
Yeah.
There's a bar of Galaxy chocolate in there as well. I mean, we've gone heavy on
Chris
this
put
today.
Some munchies, some salted caramel munchies.
Yeah, some munchies and some M&Ms, the brown
classic ones. Yeah,
classic M&Ms, yeah.
So that is a lot. That's a lot of confectionery amongst four people.
Yeah.
And we've put a real
We've done our best, though.
Yeah.
Tonight we dine like kings.
Yeah. And that segues really perfectly into our main feature this week, which is 1 hour photo.
Yes.
I hadn't seen this before.
Nor either.
And I'm kind of on the fence with Robin Williams a lot of times, but I liked the idea of watching one of his where he's not a zany, wacky guy, more of a serious role.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's exactly what this is.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. You don't see any of that zaniness.
No, it's really...
I think at the time, I guess, when you think like where Robin Williams was in his career, this was like a massive departure, like a shocking thing to see a comedian like him playing this role. But it loses that in the years since we know much more about what a complex guy that he was and had his own demons and all that stuff. It makes it him easier to buy him as tortured in this than it maybe was shocking in the first time round. But
I didn't watch it the first time around, so
this is
my first time watching this movie as well.
Mine too.
And this was from director Mark Romanek.
That's right, yeah.
He did Never Let Me Go. Did you see that? The Kazuo Ishiguro adaptation with Andrew Garfield and Kerry Mulligan. They were sort of clones, but mostly in a boarding house and no sci-fi at all. But
missed that one.
That was good.
Okay, cool. This one, it's one of those films that starts off with the perp has been caught.
Yep, in media res, in the midst of things.
He's with Eric LaSalle, who was Dr. Benton in ER. In an interview room.
And also Soul Glow, Eddie Murphy's mate in...
Trading...
Coming to America.
And he says, we've developed the film that you had in the camera.
Yeah.
And
The first shot, actually, the very first shot of the movie is a camera him being processed in the things. But
And so we know he's done a thing. And they don't know. We don't know exactly what it is. I thought it was.
He says wait for your legal aid lawyers coming. You don't have to say anything. Yeah. But whilst you don't have to say anything, I'm going to ask you a load of questions about what did actually happen.
Yeah.
And we get some narration as we find out about Cy Parrish.
Mm. We do.
Yeah.
I can't remember what that narration said. I've just been honest with you.
He's mostly just talking about he talks a lot about the importance of his job in developing photos.
That's
and
right.
The importance of photos as moments in time.
He says that quite a lot, I think, throughout the
and
film.
And he's working in a,
Save
like
Mart.
A Walmart, it's called Save Mart.
It reminded me of the fake plastic trees video from Radiohead. It looked very fake.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, all of the shots really of the save polished. Mar are really bright, like punishingly bright.
Well, I wondered like 2/3 of the way through whether it was all a hallucination because it looks so artificial to me.
Yeah. And it's even a real when he contrast.
Goes outside, sorry. Even when he goes outside, you know, when he goes outside and he sees the car parked and that, everything kind of looks like it's all plastic.
Bright and
there's quite a lot done with contrast in this.
But he talks
about his world, the importance of this vital service that he performs, developing photos and the various people that bring their photos to him to be developed. And there's a bit of tittering as we see a guy bring along some photos of him raw dogging his wife or whatever.
Well, there's probably, you know, half of the kids, the people at work, wouldn't have a fucking clue what this is on about because they just wouldn't, I guess, even know that film
used to get developed.
It's just all digital.
Well, that was the thing that really struck me about how this was such a moment in time itself, the film, because this whole thing of, developing photos doesn't exist anymore, really, does it?
And the thing is that he has this family, the recurring customers that they just drop the film in and it's 1 hour photo that, you know, that was the selling point that you drop it in and we'll do a quick turnaround. And so this family that he's basically become obsessed with is the whole crux of the matter. And he takes a particular sort of, has a connection with the kid.
Mm. So you're getting way into the family.
Creeped out like right away.
Yeah.
So my head is going, oh my God, he's done something fucking awful with a kid something's happened. So you're just trying to piece it together in the film of like, what's he done?
Exactly. And yeah, he's justifying his existence all the time doing this. And it is his existence.
I think the first thing is that the mum asks for 2 copies and he writes down 3 and you're like, oh, he's keeping fucking photos, you know, straight away.
And you see the him going through these different photos. There's a few scenes as he's going through just before this, as he go, you know, you get those little snapshots of all the different kind of characters that come in and those different photographs that they would bring.
The woman who brings a cat photos.
Yeah.
But here you've got and then you've got this wholesome family, which all the time is bringing photos of him together and with the husband, the wife, and their little boy, Jake.
Whenever we see them, and particularly when he's imagining them, it's all in this like soft focus, it's a complete contrast to the harshness of the Save Mart. And sometimes that juxtaposition is made like really real because they're talking about him. They've sort of noticed his attempts to befriend them sort of thing. And one night the kid is saying, oh, you know, I wish Cy was all right. And let's send him positive vibes. And you cut back to him and he's just drinking a glass of water, like staring at the wall in his harshly lit apartment just with his pet hamster
that's right,
like his sole company
and his photo collection
and his photo collection.
We learn his lonely existence starts to get a little more creepy when you look at his wallpaper, which is made up of photographs of this family over years
The baby's born, really.
So
I don't know, 6, 7 however,
something.
Nine.
Yeah.
So 9 years. So
over a decade, basically, of their life documented on his wall.
Yeah. And as he's having this conversation with, what's the mother's name?
Nina.
As he's having this conversation with Nina, he's saying, oh, is he 9 now? And she's saying, yeah, he is. And I think the penny begins to drop with her just a little bit that,
she gets charmed by him. Yeah, no, he notices a book that she's reading and gets the same book. It's a Deepak Chopra one and goes to talk to her.
Seems to be a flicker when she goes, of course you have all our photographs and you're the same guy that you bring it to.
She recognizes he's a bit lonely, but they think he's harmless, you know.
He insists on serving her, doesn't he? He goes and he knows the address straight away.
Well, he takes great pride in his work. And like you said, he's shown to be obsessive compulsive. He calls the maintenance guy out for like a tiny infraction in the printer.
He says people don't treat the job with the reverence it requires.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's just like one photo, you know.
Maybe who knows, maybe we'll get some information later that'll explain his significance. He even eventually ends up meeting the husband, Will. They look impossibly young, this couple. They're both like basically in their late 20s and they've got a kid who's about 12.
I have to say that like he seems like particularly like unlovable, and the mum's performance for me was like beyond awful. It was like taking me out of the movie.
And the husband.
Yeah. But I guess maybe they're supposed to be a bit like that, because straight away you realize there's no, you know, it's not as perfect as it looks. Right. Even when Cy, who comes, he meets Will in the store, doesn't he? And he's almost like starstruck, like he's meeting a celebrity. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't help you with that. And
yeah,
and then he notices the kid, is some interaction between the father and the kid talking about this.
Which, it's a toy.
Yeah, but it was a specific toy, an Evangelion neon. What was it?
Neon Genesis Evangelion. It's a Japanese anime thing. Yeah.
Toy. Yeah. So
he wants it. He's, because they seem to go to this store a lot. The kid is just normally just hangs around, like used to do. I suppose you just hang around the kids.
Running through toys the aisles. Yeah.
And the old man's like bothered. He's some sort of graphic designery type thing. And he needs a connector.
He plays around on Microsoft Paint, basically, designing chairs.
Yeah. And he needs some thing for his computer. He's very stressed about it. Yeah. And he's got no time for the kid fucking about or some weird photo guy talking to him. He just needs this thing and he wants to go. But we've already seen at home an interaction between him and the wife. She says, "You're distant. You're never fucking present. You don't do anything with us. Yeah, you're a bad father. You're a shit husband. And you're also a cunt. So fuck off."
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah.
The kid has soccer practice, and wouldn't you know it, there's Cy.
This begins to be really then,
it's pretty fucking
out.
Creepy now. And he.
And you see him walking along after the game. He starts in chat.
He tells him, "Oh, I was a sickly kid and, you know, I had lots of different diseases and whatnot." And I don't know, it was all a bit pretty weird at this point.
Yeah. And he's just walking along and you're just thinking, because the coach says at one point, "Are you okay?" And he goes, yeah, I'm okay. Because he kind of knows him, but
He's so nondescript and bland looking and sort of casually inoffensive, I guess, at least in the context.
He wears those shoes that I think I've seen them in, like, you know, when you get the Sunday newspaper, your parent used to get the Sunday newspapers.
Yeah.
And it would, in the supplements, you buy these
serial killer shoes.
Yeah. They're like a
slippers.
Like it's a kind of brogue of.
Probably cost $9.95, and they've just got one Velcro fastening over them.
Yeah.
And then he's just wearing slacks.
It's a bigger heel than you'd have thought, I think, with those ones when you...
Yeah, he might have gone for
very comfortable, I have to say.
A $15
pair. And he just wears, some sort of nondescript slacks and a shirt and a tie that is very much his uniform for life.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. I guess probably now is the point where Maya comes in to have her photos developed.
Yeah.
And Cy can't quite place her. And then he's looked in the photos and then eventually pieces together that he's seen in the photos some canoodling with Will and this other woman, a secret relationship.
So. Well, he spots her on his murder wall. She's in a softball team with the husband. And then he's like, fuck, that's where I know her from. She knows him. So when the photos are developed, he goes through her photos and they have stolen away for some weekend. And there's photos of them getting off with each other and carrying on. And he is devastated.
And at the same time as well, he is devastated. And at the same time, the pressure is getting to him because his boss has noticed about the number of copies that have been made.
Yeah. And the fact he gave away a free camera.
Yeah.
This, along with the argument with the photo copy guy,
the technician, he's berated him in front of customers. He's taking weirdly long lunch breaks.
We've already seen him go off and fantasize about living in the house and walking around it and
you see that scene and you think, fucking hell, is he really doing it? And then they walk in.
Well, I was a bit like, because they, you know, like you say, they come through the front door and he's all panicked, and then you realize it was all
been watching the game,
isn't
it? It's a dream. Yeah, it's getting a little more high stakes now because he starts scratching the photograph of the father.
He scratches the eyes out of the father.
On each of the photographs on the wall.
Mm. Well, he does something else. He gets Maya's photo and the one of her getting off with the husband, he slips that into the photo, the family photos that he knows.
Nina
is going to come and collect.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's the time when he also gets weird with them because she comes in and instead of being really friendly and knowing the address, after he gets the bollocking from his boss, he kind of goes a bit.
He's cold.
What's your address?
She's like,
How many copies? What frame?
Yeah,
I don't know. Whatever. Oh, okay. Yeah. That. So he's just straight customer relationship, no friendliness, no nothing.
And he steals a big knife. So he's acting pretty dodgy at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like going back to it, he's been arrested, he's been caught doing something, now he's got a knife and motive.
And he's following and
the photos.
Following
the photos.
Nina,
yeah. He gives Nina the photos.
He's clearly obsessed with his family. It's a perfect family that he doesn't have. He's obsessed with it. Now it's been rocked, you know, with this cheating thing has been exposed. So you're like, oh,
the
Jesus.
Only little thing that we know is that he considers himself Uncle Si. Mm. So that's the only one where I thought, okay, well, this is not very sexual, at least not with the wife. Which initially I thought that's him and Nina, she's trying.
You could rule out the rape homicide.
Then you would think, okay, well, maybe the kid. And then now it's like, oh, the husband maybe is. Because initially, like you say, you think, right, someone, you get the knife, okay, someone's going to die here.
Yeah.
That's for me at this moment in time, that's what I'm thinking. And then he follows her and you think, well,
but before that, he gets his own role of film and takes it back after he's been sacked. He takes it back to save Mark, and his boss is the guy from Office Space.
Yeah.
He's a fucking douche in that as well.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you can't fucking be. And he's like, I'm just a customer. I just want to get a role. And he's like, well, you could have gone anywhere. Because, yeah, but this place has got the best
calibrated machine.
I know it's the best in this state. And he's like, okay, you can have this role developed. And then after that, you're barred. And when it's developed, Yoshi has to take it through to him and say, I think you want to see this. And it's just like, closer and closer and closer, close up of his own daughter.
Yeah.
And he's like, a warning shot, you know, say, you fuck off.
I know where you live.
Yeah. I did enjoy that. It's quite good.
Nice. But that obviously triggers the police to turn up, who is?
It's Clark Gregg.
Clark Gregg and your mate as well.
Eric LaSalle.
Yeah. It's a good duo of coppers who turn up.
Ebony and Ivory.
Yeah. So,
well, they go to the Edgelord Hotel,
the Edgerton Hotel.
But basically, Si follows them and knows they're stealing off for a dodgy.
Well, he gets with the photos. We never really finished that because it's actually a pretty good scene. He slips the photos in and he then follows her because he wants to watch her open the photos. And he's driving along behind her. She decides to do it, pulls over, and he's like, yes, and follows her back to her house. And then he's enraged that she doesn't confront him. Like,
they're just having dinner. What's wrong with these people?
And that's what propels him into this next phase, which is to follow Will and Maya to the Edgerton Hotel and through a very complicated series of shenanigans.
It's all about room service
and booking a room and getting on the right floor and all sorts of stuff. He ends up on...
He MacGyvers his way up there, doesn't he? Yeah. And then confronts them with a knife. I was thinking he was going to take him down, like, you know, because...
Well, first, there's plenty of time for that because he does some stuff with him first. He pretends to be room service and she opens the door. He kind of smashes the door into her head, and so she sort of stumbles along. And then he confronts them and screams at them, won't let them touch, but orders them round. And he seems like he's a bit muddled and conflicted about it. But
he wants them to pose, but in a particular way.
And they're kind of like mannequins almost next to each other. And then he's like,
and smile. Yeah. Smile.
It's weird. It's really weird. And he's taking photos of that. And he gets her. He said, put that in your mouth, but don't. And he's very particular about it.
Yeah.
And the police.
We
find
don't
out
exactly
what
see
in.
How that scene we don't plays, see how it plays out. Out. We're no. not. We don't know how it plays out. It starts getting a bit shouty and aggressive, and then we cut to the police efforts to come.
He hears them. He hears the siren, and he's kind of looking.
Well,
out the
next we see him, he goes back to his hotel room.
Yeah. Well, he's got a room just down the hall.
Yeah.
On the same floor where he's booked in.
He's Scarpers, basically,
and he's
and
basically
you're being led to believe that the couple have been butchered in the room.
He leaves the knife there, but there's no blood on it. But it's in the sink.
No, yeah. And then the Gregster, he enters the room and he says the names. There's nothing that no one answers back.
Yeah.
So you're like, and then he goes in and you still don't see anything. And he goes into the bathroom and he kind of peels back the shower curtain. And you're waiting for a dismembered corpse of blood everywhere. And it's just a woman crying.
She's in the bath
she's
crying.
She's doing the whole, you know, wash it off crying. Me stuff.
Yeah.
And I think the fella's just like having a blub somewhere or whatever.
Up on the bed with his towel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So disappointing.
And Si escapes. This was quite a cool little bit because earlier we'd seen him have a dream where he was in a supermarket and his eyes had
exploded
basically. Yeah. And as he escapes, he goes through a conference about opticians talking about treatment for retinal degeneration. Yeah. So I quite enjoyed that little touch. bit of foreshadowing or something, and he triggers an alarm anyway. He's eventually caught after a bit of like a good color focused escape, bit of green, bit of like stylistic moves of the camera down the car park.
Yeah. Multi-story.
And he's eventually caught, and there's like a zoom in on him. There's something deeply unsettling about that sort of look that he does at the camera when he's caught. But yeah, he's taken into custody. And
he kind of looks pathetic, but also like sort of deranged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's captured. And then back to the interrogation.
Yeah. And also, but we also see Will go back to his family as well.
Yeah. He's just escorted back, and they're just standing there
with sirens.
And this is awkward. They've all got that kind of look on their face, haven't they?
Right? Well, the kid runs up and hugs the old man. Yeah. You're thinking, he might be only doing that once or twice a fortnight.
Yeah.
Back to the interrogation room, and they ask him some stuff, and he just says, well, look, I only took some photos.
That's what he says. I just took pictures. Yeah. And then when pressed, he gets into a conversation that basically strongly implies that he was sexually abused when he was a kid and his father took photos of him.
Yeah, that was happening. Yeah.
While it was happening. Meant as an explanation for the movie, which then just kind of ends with this bizarre dissolve to a photo of a sort of...
Happily ingratiated. The policeman gives him the photos back.
Yeah.
And then you find out that all he took photos of their house was just like the doorknob and...
Yeah, the hotel room. He just took pictures of objects in the hotel room.
Yeah. So he didn't actually take any photos of that couple. He must have
But saved. He still did the terrible thing. I didn't really understand what the whole point of...
I just thought there was probably a roll of film somewhere with those photos on.
You never find that out. I then assumed that it was... He was just snapping, but there was no film in there. And, he couldn't then go through with doing it himself. He was just kind of wanting to see it act out. But
that is how it ends, you know, that is it. So I was so disappointed with it in terms of I wanted to see him as a serial killer. And I believed, I'd never seen it and I hadn't read too much about it, but I knew it was Robin Williams playing a different kind of role, blah, blah, blah. And I just thought I had built it up in my head that he was a serial killer.
Mm.
And the start of the film sort of led you down that path. And then I was like, what the fuck? No one even dies. I was disappointed.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it had some nice touches and he was really good in it and other stuff, but ultimately left me wanting.
Yeah.
I think he was the only one good in it.
Hmm. Although, he was definitely the best thing.
Although I have to say, in the close shots, you could see that his head was shaved because normally he's got a normal hairline.
His chest, his arms, his hands, everything was shaved quite a lot.
He's a very hairy man.
He is very hirsute.
Yeah, and you can see like the top of his head, how he was shaved. I don't know, except for his performance, everything else was a bit. And a couple of times where the argument where the husband and wife, Nina and the husband, when the kid hears them the first time, is just so forced. It doesn't even start somewhere. It's not even, it just kind of starts in the middle of a conversation.
I thought she was terrible, to be honest.
It's pretty soap opera.
There was a few of them that were so awkward.
I thought the kid was okay, actually.
What was he playing? Was it Tekken or Virtua Fighter? I wasn't 100% sure.
I think it was Virtua Fighter. I didn't recognize them as Tekken characters.
I didn't think he was too bad, the kid, but and Bob and Williams. But the rest of them, yeah, weren't a lot to write home about. The story for me just fell a little bit short of doing anything it promised. As you, I thought,
I wasn't really
sure
what the point of it was at the end. You find out, okay, well,
he's a victim too.
Wait, okay.
It would have been nice then to learn a little bit more about that or kind of understand
see the photos his dad took.
Yeah.
might as well have been that bizarre, but
I don't know, it just built up something and didn't deliver on it at all. I don't know what they were going for.
It was interesting, I guess, for, as you talked about, Robin Williams, that time in his career, what other roles he might have then gone into that were down that path a little bit more, because he could have played a good serial killer, I think.
He did another one similar to this, the name of it escapes me, but it was a similar kind of like sketchy character. I'll post it on Discord. But it was nice to see him flex some acting chops. Just would have liked to see more.
I think it was all quite stylishly done, but I don't really think it bore a lot of scrutiny, the plot, and it all amounted to a bit of meh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, bit of a misfire for me. But strong recommend.
Oh, hugely.
But,
yeah, go for it. Yeah. Press gang, because in the press they take photos and tabloids and stuff.
Yeah.
So that is in.
Yep.
This was season one, episode one of the 80s classic.
1989, I think.
1989 to 1993, and it's got huge stars.
Yeah.
Julia
Sawalaha.
Yeah, haha. And
Dexter Fletcher.
Dexter Fletch.
Lucy Benjamin, Maloki. Christy, who you've seen in loads of stuff like The Bill and anything British TV actor, and Paul Reynolds, who played the cheeky guy. What was his name?
We are the cheeky guys.
He gets an actual spin around in his chair shot smile at the camera as part of the intro, which was just fucking amazing.
And it's written by Stephen Moffat.
Yeah. Doctor Who. Is he still writing Doctor Who, Stephen Moffat? Has he written the one that's got everybody, all the edgelords on Twitter going crazy because Isaac Newton's played by a person of colour, you know?
Are they freaking out about that?
Though? Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, anyway. So I hated this as a child because I didn't like live action stuff. And this was a thing for, I probably maybe a little bit too young because they're a bit older.
They're a bit older, yeah.
And it's serious, kind of.
Yeah. This was business.
So it was just not in my wheelhouse. So
I was probably the right age. I enjoyed 24. This. Certainly, you know.
Yeah, mid-50s.
So you enjoyed
this first time around.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it now?
Well, I feel good about it.
Yeah.
I was nearly going to watch the next one straight on afterwards.
You can.
Because this, yeah, you can, because you can find them all on YouTube. And it starts off as the story is a famous newspaper guy has opened up a newspaper and wants a junior gazette to come off it. And he's taking in some staff to deal with it and to help run with it, but it's going to be run with the kids. And Sawala is the koala lady. She is the... How do you say her name?
Sawala?
It is Sawala.
Sawala.
Julia Sawala. She's the editor and she's kind of really bossy. She knows what she wants.
So you've got some high flyer kids, but you've also got some... delinquents.
You've got a teacher who keeps sending the bad kids down that he can't get get out of my face. I'll send him down there, and they're trying to make it serious. The first edition's coming out. They need a story, and nobody's got one, and everybody's flying around. And you're right; they're spinning in chairs and things, and clicking pens and trying to print on photocopiers, and there's a photographer, but nobody's really doing anything. All their feet are up until Dexter walks in. Spike.
Oh, I watched a different one to you, I think. I don't know how I watched
really?
It. Yeah.
I watched season one, episode one.
Well, that's what I thought I watched as well. Well, that's what I thought I'd watched as well, but I must have...
How did yours go?
Oh, I had a bank vault and all sorts of stuff. Julia Sawala. Yeah, I thought it was weird that nothing was being introduced. Yeah, that would make sense now.
Did you watch an episode of this?
I didn't rewatch it for this, but I had seen it in the past.
You've seen it in the past. And did you watch this, Chris?
Never. I don't even know what.
Oh, it was all good. Right. My episode was really good as well. She got stuck in a bank vault all weekend and she had to communicate. Her phone gets broken. She had this newfangled thing called a mobile phone, but it gets broken.
Well, she had a mobile in yours. Yeah, it was definitely not first series episode
Holy
one.
Cow, that must have been real primitive.
Vault. And who else did it have in it? It had somebody else doing a cameo. Oh, yeah, it was good.
But
was good.
When I, you know, it was proper... You know, it's kids doing adult work.
Yeah.
And with that urgency and to find a story and to break a lead. In this one, actually, the big story, a guy comes in and he's queuing outside the door of her boss. And he said, look, I've got a story. And the boss says, look, not now. I can't see you now. And then she steals that story for the Junior Gazette.
All right.
And it turns out it's a guy who thinks that the nuclear plans are being pushed out by toy companies. And in fact, it's just Star Wars figures and things.
Right.
He's completely gone.
And what was the love story angle between Dexter Fletcher?
Well, this is where it starts.
Julius Awalaha's.
Well, he finds the story about a disco turning into a pub and that potentially changing hands. And that's their lead story for. And at first she doesn't want to take that story. She wants to go with hers, but it turns out to be this Star Wars guy who's nuts. So in fact, she has to go and apologize to him, but she doesn't because she's too bossy.
Yeah. It's a lot of that sort of dynamic.
So they both don't kind of back down, and he's so cocky and just says, well, I'll accept your apology anyway. Thank you very much. And he just does enough to wind her up. And he asks her out straight off for the, and then takes it back because she's being so bossy.
Well, they're more together at this point then, because so that's why she's calling him and all this sort of stuff. But yeah, they're more an item. So there's obviously that undercurrent of the
sexual politics going on as well. And this was good. Yeah, it was. And I'm not surprised that a good few of these went on to have really good careers and do some really great
films.
There's
a lot of EastEnders alumni in here, but then Dexter Fletcher went on to have a pretty big career, didn't he, really?
He's big-time director now.
Big-time director, yeah. Mm. We watched something that he finished off, didn't he?
He directed, it was one of the action-y type films that's on one of the streaming services, because the big story where he gave an interview and he was explaining how the dynamic of filmmaking has changed due to streaming. And if you don't get the audience within the first 5 seconds, they just turn off. Mm. So you have to, when it's the film that he'd made, if it was Ghosted or something else, you have to have a big action set piece right out the gate. Otherwise, people just won't stick with it. So that sort of thing. So yeah, he's proper big time.
And he was Lock, Stock and all sorts of stuff.
Well, he has an American accent in this.
It's not a very good one, is it?
It's not. No.
Let's be honest. If you're listening, Dexter, big sure fan, is. But yeah. the accent
he hadn't quite
work.
Nailed what his age would American he have been accent. Here? 16, 15, right. Something like that. Maybe 17, but yeah, young. And he's almost his face was too big for his body at this stage. You know, he seems to...
You're really getting
weird
stuck into
kind
him,
of, yeah, I guess sounds like I am. But no, I really like him. I think he was good in this. And I really enjoy seeing him in lots of things. But it always reminds me of this.
Yeah, exactly. I always think of this. Yeah. Gabrielle Anwar was in this, and she was in Scent of a Woman, and that's a pretty good movie. So
yeah. Incredible. Okay, well, it's a strong recommend for me.
Definitely strong recommend.
I could almost get into the series again, but...
Theme tune any good?
Yeah, it was quite good, yeah.
Should we chuck it in here?
I'd love to.
There you go.
There.
Yeah. Good. See, remember that? No. That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well. Incredible.
It's a huge recommend.
Yeah, huge. Yeah.
Yeah. What a hit.
Jeez, that was loud.
Wasn't it? Shall we go all out Christmas content for the rest of the year?
All right.
Sure.
Don't know whether I could take...
Or multi-faith holiday.
Yeah, we could try and multi-faith it up a little. Yeah, holiday season shenanigans.
Okay.
I don't know if any of you have Apple TV, but the Charlie Brown Christmas is on there.
Ah,
That's an all-time classic.
So we'll do that. We'll sort it out. And then I also like Kicks Pete shitty fucking shark thing he wants to do. Yeah. He's touched into January. Sounds right.
Nice.
All that remains is to say Sidey signing out.
League's out.
Chris is done.
Dan's gone. Back on.